I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, folks. We've been having a robust conversation about this issue of that 71% of young people are ineligible for the military and most careers too, according to a report coming out of the Pentagon. These were some numbers coming out of the Pentagon data report from 2017 that was reported in USA Today earlier this afternoon. And looking at the impact of this, looking at why these things are happening, the top three reasons as to why young people are ineligible for the military are no high school diploma, obesity, and those young people have criminal records. Some of you are saying that this should not be something that we should be concerned about, that it's all hype. But then others are saying that this is something that shows that that the next generation not as patriotic. There's a lack of discipline. We're not connected to doing work that is honorable or to doing work or being a part of causes that are bigger than ourselves. That speaks volumes about where we are. Let me share with you just really quickly before we go back to our phone lines. Some of the comments that I've been getting on my Facebook page. Irene said, these young people have eyes and ears and they see how this country treats its veterans. I wouldn't want to serve. The real risk is the warmongers like the Republicans, okay, and the rich who get rich off of war and weapons. And we need to use that money we spend on wars here at home, better educating our young people. I agree. I think they're warmongers on both sides, though, Republicans and Democrats. So, but that's Irene checking in. Christina said, check it out. Relax those standards just like Baltimore Police Department need to do so we can have some homebound officers. Okay, that's an idea. Noni checked it and said, one of my sons is serving in the National Guard right now. I'm so proud of him. Everybody can't be a public servant, and I so appreciate the ones who can. Yep, and Noni, thank you so much. And tell your son, we thank him for his service. Lakia checked in and said, look, I think there should be a conversation about how members of the armed forces are treated after their service. Nothing about it is desirable. Substance abuse, mental, somatic health services, jobs acquisition. Nothing about how that plays out is desirable or supportable as parents. Yeah, that's a very big conversation. Calvin checked in and said, based on how the black vets have been treated post-military service, being a part may not be attractive. Also, getting money for college may not be a motivator due to the organic narrative of entrepreneurship. Good point. Chris checked in and said, military is a great place for a young man or lady to start. I'm trying to get my son to go after he graduate high school next year. I'd rather him go there first rather than college because I see he's intelligent, but really not big on school just yet. And he should go experience military. The military has done me well. I graduated high school in June of 1990. I was down Marine Corps Recruit Depot, Paris Island, going through some of the toughest training given. But to this day, it was my honor to have such an experience. Chris, thank you so, so much. And let's see. Sko checked in and says, it comes down to patriotism. Remember, this is the same government that killed MLK. It's been proven. This is the same country that had Hoover conduct attacks on black people and beneficial community programs. This is the country that went to Iraq when the terrorists that crashed the planes into the towers were from a completely different country. The American civilian does not trust the country anymore. All right. Thank you so much and can continue to post your comments. Let's go back to the phone line, see what folks got to say. Let's go to Tony in D.C. First-time caller. Tony, thank you so much for your patience.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think the war, I mean, of course, America right now is not at war at large right now with anyone. So the military really doesn't need manpower, and the wars today are fought differently than they were fought in times past. We use a lot more technology. We use a lot more different tactics to take down governments than by manpower. See, before we tried to colonize other nations like the Vietnam War, we tried to set up our own government there.
Yeah.
We tried to set up our government in other places. But now it's a money game. Now it's like, you owe me money, I could take down your business. And, you know, it's just business relationships, I think, a lot of times now. And they don't really need the manpower. You don't need a manpower now to take over, overthrow a government. Even with that Iraq war, that war was over in a few days. But why did it last so many years? Because they were trying to set up companies and businesses over there. And Barack kind of shut all that down. So now they mad at Barack. And, you know, that's all that is. It's just a game that's been played by this country for many years. And when you're not trying to colonize and set up government in a foreign land, you really don't need manpower. So that's why, you know, and we've always had problems with education, the criminal justice system. We've always had problems there. And the military used to recruit out of the jails. I remember when they did that.
Yeah. Right. You're right. Hey, Tony, I appreciate you for checking in from D.C. Thank you so much. You're bringing up a great point. But check us out. I don't know any time in American history where the American, that we didn't go to another country and establish our own interests. Business, dictators and leaders to be a part of those countries' government, you know, rebuild the government structure over there. America is not going to step its foot on somebody else's soil unless there are some interests there that is in the quote-unquote benefit of the American policy. Otherwise, we just not there. We're not landing bombs on Antarctica. We just not going. There's no interest. Like, all right, whatever. Y'all pretty cool. Like, literally, y'all we cool with y'all. But let's go back to the phone line. Jesse, East Baltimore. Thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Well, Faraji, I just gotta say, like, when I was getting ready to graduate high school,
yeah,
my option to go to college, you know, my parents didn't have any money. My option was to go to the military. But by me being a type 1 diabetic, the military wouldn't accept me. They were calling the house like day after day after day. And I finally decided to talk to one of the recruiters. You know, this was back in 99, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
They called
sometime.
The house.
Yeah.
But, you know, I talked to the recruiters, and they said, oh, you're type 1 diabetic. We can't take you. I was 6'1", 185 pounds. You know, I was in pretty good shape. I just had this issue. And they wouldn't take me. So, you know, that kind of, I'm not going to say it ruined, I'm definitely not trying to say it ruined my life, but it definitely made things different for me, because I was counting on that, you know, just go to the military, do your 4 years, go to college, you know.
You were believing, you believed the dream.
Yes, that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand it, and I mean, I have a, you know, one of my best friends, she went into the military.
How long she's been serving now?
Well, she's out now. She served 4 years.
Okay. Yeah. So you believed the dream, and then it didn't work out for you, so you had to make some new decisions, but essentially you recognize that may be the case, and that may just be the case, and Jesse, I appreciate you for checking in from East Baltimore. That just may be the case for the next generation. It's just like, I don't want to do that. I do not want to do that. Let's go to Howard, Baltimore. Howard, what's your take? And then Glory.
Yeah, thank you. Look, I haven't heard everything that I was going to say, but I'm going to sum it up.
Yeah.
I'll give you 2 years. 1958, Khrushchev came here and said, we'll bury you. 1965, do your own thing. All right? Now, everything that people have been saying is true. I went to the Marine Corps in 1963. We used to have what was known as a fat boys platoon. All right?
A fat boys platoon.
That's right. They put you in the fat boy platoon, and it takes on the weight off you, and then they put you back in the cycle, all right?
Oh, okay.
All right. And as far as records can be misleading, because there's so many things you can get a record for that you haven't really done anything.
Yeah.
Somebody said it correctly. This is nothing but a hype. All right? Because now you got guys fighting wars and sitting in Utah. Mm. All right.
Yeah.
The day of the foot troops and gone by the wayside.
Ah. All right. So although this is an air conflict, not on the ground conflict.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But Howard,
you still need qualified individuals to even have that type of battle. You still need people to operate that machinery, that technology.
You're right. And you can get so technical that you can exclude everybody you want to exclude.
Yeah.
And it's not about, this is nothing but a hype.
Yeah.
Because the United States will never get to the point where they don't have an adequate military service. Although, that's a lot of people that's trying to lead it in that direction.
Yeah. That's.
I need to come on your show one day, okay?
Oh, okay. All right, Howard. Okay.
Because one of the guys said it just like I did it. My aunt, who will funeralize Saturday,
yeah,
asked me to go to college for a couple of years. I said, no, I'm going to the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And I went in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
I came back after my 4 years, got out, and didn't realize I was part of an affirmative action program down at Bethlehem Steel.
Mm.
Okay. And, I encourage people to make their own decision, but don't be discouraged by people getting killed or anything like that. If I didn't get killed, I'm still here.
Yeah.
And most of the people that I know from my neighborhood, they didn't get killed over in Vietnam. They got killed in the neighborhood.
Mm-mm-mm. Howard, I got to let you go, but I appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you so
much.
And
I'll talk to somebody about being on your show, okay?
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Howard. There it is.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go to Carolyn, then we can go to Gloria, then Quint. Carolyn, Northeast Baltimore, another first-time caller. Carolyn, thank you for your patience. What's your take, ma'am?
Good evening, Brother Farhad, and everyone on the line.
Good evening.
I'd just like to say that young people today, they don't have any initiative. Because I remember when my daughter, when she was in school, that was like in the late early 2000s, they used to have a program, the JROTC.
Yeah, the JROTC program.
Yes, correct.
That still exists in some schools here in the city.
Some schools, but not a whole lot. And
right.
I don't think they no longer offer that in school or not as prevalent as it used to be at that time.
Yeah.
So I just feel that there's no extra curriculum for, the young people to get into, and it should be reinforced. And I think it's really sad that, they have a high level of high school dropouts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So is it are you placing the blame on the educational system? Or
yes.
Are you saying that young people just don't want to excel?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yes, sir.
Mm.
So I just wanted to, put my little...
put your two cents in there, huh, Ms. Carolyn? Okay. They don't want to excel. Well, some people would push back on that. They would say that that's not the case, that you have young people that do want to excel, but that military service just doesn't appeal to their heart, their mind, to their spirit.
Well, I understand that, and it's true, and it's not for everybody. But then again, I do know someone who graduated like in the late 1998, 99, and they went into the JROTC, and after that, they joined the armed force. And right now, they're making a career out of that. So look how long, do the math. Look how long ago that's been. So
yeah.
It depends on the person or the individual how they feel. But I just thought maybe, if they just throw some kind of initiative. And for the younger people to, join in after school.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm just saying maybe. I don't know.
No. I hear you. We're just talking.
Out of the end.
Yeah. But we're just talking, and that's a good point. That's a good point, because it does start from an institution that gets young people in from the very beginning. Carolyn, I appreciate your time, and thank you for your insight as you check in from Northeast Baltimore. Let's go to Glord out of Gwinn Oak. Glord, then Quinn. Glory, what's your take on it, sir?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Did you ever see the movie? How you doing, Baraji?
I'm good, Glory.
Good. Did you ever see the movie Glory?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so it's still real and today. And Muhammad Ali said it well. He wasn't going to go to war to fight nobody that, never did nothing to him, which makes sense. But a lot of people, when they had the draft, and I remember when they had the draft, they didn't care what size your physical, as long as you got a trigger finger, and they will send you over there, put you on the front line. So that's always been the thing. And a lot of blacks, we don't encourage and never did encourage them to go into service, But that's the only thing you had, you know, to survive. You know, you had to go to war and go over and probably lose your life and something like that, or mm-hmm. get benefits when you come back. Even when people from World War II, when they came back, they could not get a job. They probably, I think they had injuries over there, because when Obama was in office, I knew the guy at the federal building, and he said there wasn't that many World War II veterans available, and hearing their stories, they could not get a job, because if they told the employee here that they had an injury, they used that against them. And I would never encourage anybody to go into war, like
right.
boot camp.
Right.
It's something different. To set up a boot camp, you know, for kids where parents, single parents can't raise their kids, yeah, set up a little boot camp, but they don't have to go in the Army to get that. And to bring to try to bring this country back together, even in my community, when the President Obama was in there, man, people were jumping for joy. I see people putting up flags. They had flags on their cars and everything. But when he was having the problems, people started taking that stuff down because this country is not the way it's supposed to be. But until they bring this country together,
yeah.
you know, so we have unity
yeah.
and everything.
There's going to be consistent. So, yeah, and I agree with you, Gloria. I appreciate you for checking in from Gwinnett. I agree mm-hmm. with you. I agree with you. I think that when President Obama was elected, his first go, there was the level of patriotism. It was sort of surreal. You remember 2008 when the president was elected? It was like, I mean, you felt this euphoria, but then you also felt like something was missing. Like, oh, we wanted to celebrate, right? But it was a cautious celebration because you wanted to celebrate, but it was hard to forget the reality of where this country was even then and even now where it is. You know what I mean? We made some gains, but then you're like, but did we gain? Did we make real strides? Like strides that our children can benefit from, strides that our children's children can benefit from. And that's became the undertone of that time, I think, that the strides weren't there. Let's go to Quinn, then Paul, then Carl. Quinn, what's your take on this? Thank you for your
time. Roger, thank you for taking my call. You're exactly right. And people had a lot of hope when Obama was running. That man was smart. We got a lot of smart people in the United States, and that's why he got so many votes. A lot of people heard him, and they felt he was honest by everything he said. He was intelligent.
Right.
So we got a lot of intelligent black people, too. The kids nowadays, they're not so intelligent. When I was growing up, in the 50s,
but here's the thing, though, Quinn. Is yeah. that their fault or ours?
What?
That they're not that intelligent. I mean, they don't teach themselves. They're not looking at themselves. You know what I mean? That's if you're 10 years old, or if you're 12, or 16 or 17 years old, and you and I'm putting this out there because this is much as about us as it is about the military, I think. Like Dwayne, one of our previous callers said. So when we talk about having that conversation or looking at, you know, the top three reasons being no high school diploma, obesity, and criminal record, something was lost in translation.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you what's lost.
Go
ahead. When did they pass that law that the child could call the police on their parent if they when was that? When did that happen?
I would have to check on that one, Quinn.
Because a lot of children now will tell their parents, the mother or the father, you better not put your hands on me. I'll get you locked up. And they will do it. Mm. They will do it. And a lot of children have found that out. That's why they're out here mouthing off at these parents on the street, cussing them out, getting in front of them, and just saying nasty things to them because they know they better not put their hands on them. Children know that. So now their parents can't put their hands on them. These children can do what they want to do. That's how they feel. But I'm going to tell you, you know, if the father stays in the house, and discipline the kids, they will do what he says. They will finish school and do what they have to do.
Hey, Quinn,
my father wasn't around, and I finally did finish school, but I didn't finish it like my kids did. All three of my kids finished school, and one of them did go into the military and made a career out of it. And all three of them are doing really good right now, but it's because they took that law and told And then O'Malley gets on TV and says, you don't need a 60 pass. Good God Almighty. Boy, these children say, I can just be a dummy and pass in school.
I remember that.
They put so many laws into the children's hands now.
Yeah.
That the children feel like grown-ups now. And when I was growing up, by the time I turned 16, a lot of kids around my age were starting to have babies. So you got a lot of these babies out here that had babies, and they were babies themselves. They couldn't teach them kids nothing.
What? But isn't the military supposed to instill a certain level of value and make you want to live a life that is much more, you know, to a particular standard? And I'm saying because the military is trying to appeal to 17 to 24-year-olds. By the time you're 23, 24-year-old, you should have some sense about where you want to take your life.
No, they were allowed them at 17 and almost 24 when they were having kids. So those are kids that are out here now. These kids that don't have any morals. They don't have any skills. They don't have a diploma. They don't have the intelligence to get a diploma. They have no morals. I mean, they don't have anything, a variety. All they have is themselves and their I bet you they can get a gun. I bet they sit on and watch video games. And I bet you they got a phone in their pocket, though.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Hey, Quinn, I got to let you go. But I appreciate you checking in. Absolutely. Mitchell checked in on my Facebook page and said, Obama didn't shut down any wars during his presidency. Average of 16 bombs a day were dropped. Wow. America is still at war with many countries. It's an empire with bases all over the world, over 800 foreign military bases in over 80 countries. Russia, by comparison, has the second most with about 30 foreign bases. Wars, and let me see here what else we got here. He mentioned that wars are fought on many, many fronts. But essentially, that America is dominating when it comes to what, you know, that level of military engagement across the globe. Let's look. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, Paul from West Baltimore, Carl, I'm going to get your final thoughts on this because I think this speaks volumes. I still think it speaks volumes about where we are, folks. I think it speaks volumes about how the military is changing, how the military is probably going to have to change. It speaks volumes about this issue of truth and propaganda. It speaks volumes about, you know, our role in producing a generation that is qualified not just for the military, but for leadership in general. That's the biggest thing. We can't lose sight of that, folks. If our children are a certain way, then you can't look at the fruit and get mad at the fruit. You got to see the tree from which the fruit came from. You got to look at the root of the fruit and say, you know what? What happened here along the way? I'm just saying. Look, stay riding with me. Whole lot coming up in the final 30 for the culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Been having a very good conversation, folks, about this military issue. Young people are being ineligible for the military in most careers. And I think that it's a conversation that has opened up so many other conversations, things that we already know exist. This is not necessarily new. But it is something I think that we should keep at the forefront that we really do have a generation in crisis. And this could potentially put our country in a place. And I'm not just saying from the military standpoint. I'm just saying from a generational workforce standpoint, from a place where, you know, what does the future look like if the military that has traditionally and historically accepted all types of folks are now saying they're not qualified for even to serve in the military? Wow. That means what for the next generation? That means what for us as, the citizens of this country? Top three reasons: no high school diploma, obesity, and criminal record. We got too many young people that have, unfortunately, have been in spaces where they're getting not just one or two strikes. I mean, it seems like they just got three strikes against them as soon as they get out of high school. Especially, most definitely, black youth. Let's go to the phone line. Paul from West Baltimore, and then Carl from Baltimore. Talk to me, Paul.
Thanks for taking my call, Buffalo Roger.
Yes, sir.
You know, after watching so many videos on social media of unarmed black men and women getting killed, you know, one would say, as an African-American young man, why would I want to go into an army or to serve this country where when I come back, I'm pretty much looked at as being nothing, non-existent? And that's just the way you have to really look at reality, that a police can just shoot and kill an unarmed black man and nothing happens. You know, we can get lynched and all these other things and nothing happens. My thing is, if the Army really want these young kids, there's a couple things they can do. First of all, why not put together a GED program for some of the young kids? And the other thing is, you know, if you put a GED program together straight to college, that means you go in the Army, you get your GED, mm-hmm. and from there, we mentor you to prepare you for college. They do that anyway as far as college, you know, offering college tuition fund money. Now, the other thing is, if we do that, then we can look at the felonies the record that these people have. Now, Brother Farage, let's be honest. Most of African-American men in the city of Baltimore throughout this country have drug charges. That's the crime, drug charges. A lot of them, 80%. Of guys are locked up in jail right now because of selling drugs. It ain't always murder. It ain't always assaults and all this other stuff. 90% of the guys are locked up for drugs. I was incarcerated. Just about everybody on the tier down there, we all was in there for selling drugs. So that's the record right there. That's what's keeping a lot of people from getting jobs because of those type of felon. Now, you go back to when O'Malley put the zero tolerance statue in Baltimore. That means there were guys that was cooking out in their yard.
Yep.
Police came up on them, and because they had an open container, they locked them up. So these things went on. But back to that, that's what they need to do. Why not just say, okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to do a GED program. We'll get the young people in here. We'll teach them how to read, write, whatever we got to do. But we'll also train them in a military style. You know, Korea and all these other countries, every male has to serve in the Army no matter what. At least, I think it's 3 or 4 years. I work with these guys. Every lad, if you're in Korea, you have to, it's mandatory that you serve in the Army.
There it is.
And I think that's Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, always good to hear from you, Paul. Thank you so much for checking in. Carl from Baltimore, what's your take on it, sir? Carl? We got Carl? Let's see if we can get Carl in here.
Hello?
Yep, Carl, hello. I got you.
You hear me?
Yep, I can hear you, Carl.
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Farage?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Yeah. Speak, I'm good. I just wanted to say a couple of things. I think the military is a great opportunity. I hear a lot of people calling up saying that, you know, why would they fight for this country? But, I mean, we're here, and our families are here, so why wouldn't we fight for this country?
Yep,
I know it's a lot of injustices in this country, but, I mean, that's just something we got to change. But, you know, I was in the military. There are a lot of opportunities for people who go into the military.
It's just that we're always don't control what we see or what we hear as the black community. So it seems like we're always operating of what negative circumstances can come out of it. There are a lot of out of that situation.
Yeah.
But and I do believe that if we put more effort into it, a lot of the people put more effort into it who have been rejected from the military, a lot of them can change that situation. I've known that obesity is not something that, you know, should hold you back from being in the military. You want to be in the military, you lose weight, you know.
Hey, Carl, I don't know if you heard our previous caller, but he made the point that there was a fat boy platoon. They put you in a fat boy platoon, get working on your weight, and then next thing you know, they put you in back into with everyone else.
Exactly. But the thing about our youth, all of this, because we don't control what we see, other people glamorize this drug dealing, this thug, this rap music that's out. I mean, it's been out for a while, but it used to be, you know, a million types of rap music now.
Right.
There's only one type now, thug. I mean, and that controls the way they think. We just need to change the way our young people think, you know, because it's a great idea. Even like when Obama was in office, I hear a lot of people down in Obama now because they're finding out some things that Obama supported that they weren't necessarily behind.
Yeah.
But most of us never supported Obama. I know a guy right now who voted for Trump. He's a white guy. He's in my union, and he voted for Trump. And he said it perfectly. He said they support their leaders, right or wrong. But 90% of what Obama did, maybe not 90%. A lot of what he did was right. And he did a lot of things to help poor people and black people. But most of us never support. I got in so many arguments, and I just asked them one thing. Have you ever went to his website and took advantage of any opportunities that he put out there?
Mm.
And most of them said, no. How can you support someone? You don't know what somebody's about, and you don't even research. You just believe what people tell you, whatever you hear on news.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Too much of what we believe, we let other people control us. That's the problem with our children. We're letting other people control our children, tell our children what morals and values to have. So now the only thing we think about is sex, drugs, and being thuggish, because that's the morals and values that they have, because we allow other people to tell them that all day long, every day.
That's very true. Hey, Carl, I appreciate you for checking in from Baltimore. Very valid point, something to consider. Heather from Baltimore. Heather, what's your take on this as we talk about the military and young people being ineligible to serve?
Young people being ineligible to serve, I think that we should release the restrictions like these other countries do, like the other brother said, you know, prior to the call. But as a whole, as black people, we need to stop indoctrinating our children not to join the military because it's the white man's military or you're working for the government. When we as parents don't have those means to provide the opportunity that the military provides, especially to our young black men, and, you know, especially the single mothers, don't discourage your sons to join the military. It's an opportunity. If you work for corporate society, you're still a slave to that industry. So we need to kind of put into our children a mindset of, it's an opportunity, and really encourage that, because at the end of the day, if you're born in America, you're an American. If it goes down, we need the military. So if you don't, you know, like they say, love it or leave it, this is America. We have to, you know, still fight for our country, even though our country doesn't fight for us.
That's heavy. Heather, you know, that's a heavy sentiment to have, because we have had such a I will say a colorful history with this country, for lack of a better word. We've had a very challenging history for this country. So there are valid points on both sides, I think, for people to feel,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? But I think you're saying is to redefine what that service would look like, that it is an opportunity. And we can't neglect the fact that black folks have certainly gained from being a part of the military. Even though there's still some doors and some glass windows that need to be broken, busted in and broken down,
right.
in regards to its leadership. But it's a heavy, I mean, it's a hard pill to swallow considering our history in this country, though.
Yeah, and I can honestly say that my son's grandfather is in the military. Most of my family is in the military, but I can honestly say that my son's father was upset with his older son because he wanted to join the military. He's like, he's giving away himself for life and this and that and the third. But I looked at him, and I'm not trying to, you know, comment on his situation, but what can you offer him?
Yeah.
Somebody can offer my child a better opportunity than I can. Who am I to you know, condemn them for trying to get something more than what I can give them?
That's a hard one.
When they leave the house as young people, we're setting them out there to become adults and really find their way. And sometimes traveling and seeing the world does that. Can you offer that to your child? Can you offer that free education? Can you offer these housing grants? As black people, we need to stop looking at things as, oh, it's a white man thing. No, it's a life thing at the end of the day.
I hear you. I like that, Heather. I like it. I appreciate you for bringing that to the forefront as well. Thank you so much for checking in. You're welcome, Heather. Anytime. Let's go to Doc out of Baltimore. Doc, what's your take on this?
Well, my take is this. Bring the army, the military, down to Mount Street and North Avenue since the police aren't doing their job of chasing the drug dealers off the corner. So, yes, go into the military, bring them in the city, do what you have to clean off the drugs that's being peddled. And I'm calling
that's not,
them
but
out
you know,
in
but
North
you,
Avenue.
Hey, but, Doc, you know that that's not the role of the military. That's not their purpose.
It's got to be somebody's purpose because the police is right down the
that's
street.
That's the police's purpose.
Mount, and the police ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, well.
So I'm sick of it.
Oh, well, I understand. Trust me, I understand. Talk to me a little bit about what the community is doing. Is there a strong community association there in your part of the wood, in part of the city?
The drug dealer told one lady that she cannot stand or sit on her steps in that block. And I'm telling you, hey, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, it sounds like it sounds like when a community is in that situation, Doc, I would say to think outside of the box and look for alternative support.
I'm
saying some real alternative support, because if your community is taken by hostage because of drug dealers and others who want to create havoc in the community, it sounds like, you know, there needs to be some alternative support for the women and the children in that community. It sounds like there needs to be some alternative support to train the men in that community how to take a stand against those forces. That's what it sounds like to me. I may be wrong, but based upon what you're telling me, that's what it sounds like.
Well, it ain't but two men that live on that block, really.
Okay.
And I'm one of them.
Got you.
And if I keep saying things to them, sooner or later, I'm going to be the one targeted.
I hear you. I understand. All that's why I say you can't do that alone, though, Doc. That's what I'm saying to you, brother. You cannot wage that battle alone or even with the other man. You need some other men to come into the neighborhood to wage that battle. I don't know if you reached out to the church, if you reached out to the nation at the mosque or in Garrison, but you need some other support, brother.
Really? Because I told one dude was smoking weed, I said, man, you got to move it. Oh, I'm sorry. So if I keep talking, tell him, I might be talking.
I get you. That's why I said you getting to get that support, brother. Get that support. Matter of fact, we'll give you some source resources. I want to put you on hold, and I want to get your information, and I can connect you to some resources.
All right.
Okay, hold on. Alex, we're going to make sure that we want to get we get Doc's information so that way we can give him some support for what's happening in his neck of the woods. You shouldn't be put into no hostage situation in your own neighborhood. Oh, no. Oh, no, baby. Oh, no, that shouldn't be happening. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ashton, West Baltimore, what's your take?
Yes, sir. I'm a veteran.
Yes, sir.
United States Coast Guard.
Fantastic. Thank you for your service, Ashley.
And I'm a graduate of Edmondson High School from class of 82.
Okay.
Now, I said that to say my school was, I guess, 90%+ black. Okay.
Yeah.
Never had too many interaction with, you know, white people. When I went into the military, there was a lot of things that bombarded me with just life itself, how to deal with these people. Now, my thing is that I said to me, myself, I'm not going to go to college. I was tired of school. I'm going to go on to the military and get the benefits from there. Totally different world. I have a young cousin that just went into the military. Matter of fact, he went to boot camp today.
Mm.
And I'm kind of on the fence with that because even though I serve, the way the climate is today,
yeah.
I don't know if I would want to be there myself.
Right.
Because you have other people who are going into the military, getting training, okay, and then coming back into the civilian life and doing other things with their training, if you know what I mean.
No, I got you.
All right. So, it is a good opportunity, but where you go at in the military makes a big difference.
Yeah.
You don't want to do infantry, me, myself, no. Because you're being set up. The military is a number game. It's a number game. When you go to war, you have so many people that you try to recruit. Because you know you're going to have some death. You know you're going to have people that's going to be wiped out. And then you got those people that come home and they don't even take care of us. Black or white.
And you know what, Ashton? And I appreciate you for checking in. That right there for me seems like that will be the cardinal sin. That's the Achilles heel of military life, of the military establishment. If you don't take care of the people that have gone to war for you, that's the cardinal sin for me. Whether you're black, white, Asian, Latino, if you don't take care of your soldiers, the ones who have given the best years of their lives, the one who have sacrificed their time away from their families, the one who has hoped for a better future, that's the cardinal sin. That's the cardinal sin right there. Let's go to Kevin in Randallstown. Kevin, then Calvin in Baltimore. Kevin, what's your take on this?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
When I was growing up, I was what you call just a mediocre type of dude, a follower.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
My father and them, gave me a lot of knowledge, and I didn't necessarily reject it, but I didn't disrespect my parents or nothing, but I didn't really. It went through one and how they say you went in one ear and out the other.
Out the other, yeah.
And when I turned around and looked, and as I was about to graduate from high school, I realized that I hadn't even performed well enough academically to even get accepted by a college. And at the same time, at that time in Baltimore, a lot of those labor jobs, like factory-type jobs, they just wasn't there no more. So it was either that or the street corners for me. So I decided to go in the Marine Corps. And when I went in the Marine Corps, a lot of the disciplinary things that they gave me was just a reinforcement of, it wasn't nothing I didn't already have. It was just everything they were telling me, I was thinking back on, like, this is the same stuff my father was telling me. You know what I'm saying? And I felt bad
that?
Because it took like a drill instructor, somebody I didn't even know, to really kick it in my behind and make me live up to a standard that I should have been living up to the whole time as a man, but that's the way I ended up getting the discipline. And then I actually learned a trade. I actually became a jet engine mechanic.
Wow.
And was able to parlay that into a civilian, a good career. So I'm not saying it was perfect in the Marine Corps. I learned a lot. Matter of fact, I heard my first Mr. Farrakhan speech in the Marine Corps.
Wow.
Because when you go in the military, you meet all
types
of people.
I can imagine. Wow.
And yeah, I met some brothers from Detroit, from the mosque up in Detroit.
Yes,
as a matter of fact,
mosque
when I was
number
in
one,
and that's how I learned. Yeah, that's how I learned about the minister was, you know, in the military. So
that's powerful.
Know.
That's absolutely powerful.
Man, so you can make whatever you. It's what you make out of it. What you want to get out of it, you can get it.
You're absolutely right. So, real quick, Calvin, Kevin, before I let you go, you're saying that the military is a valuable option for the next generation, and the military should do more to recruit, regardless of these issues of no high school diploma, obesity, and criminal record.
Yeah, I think they're gonna have to. Now we had what they call for overweight folks. We had what they called PCP. It was like a we called it a pork chop platoon, but it was actually
man. They got all types of names. I heard somebody else said it's the fat boys platoon.
Yeah, it's actually a physical PCP stuff for physical conditioning platoon. But I saw people go in there, and you had to actually stay there until you got in physically good enough shape to to get with your regular platoon and graduate.
Right.
So those people there 2-3 months that spent there just working out, getting that weight off of them, but. So they'll work, you know, at that time when I was in, they were working with you and stuff like that.
I don't know any particular institution. If no one else can get you in shape, the military should be able to get you in shape.
Oh, the Marine Corps definitely will.
Oh, yeah, my sister's served in the Marine, so you know what I mean. And she she came out beefier and ready to go to war. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate your service, of course, but we certainly appreciate your insight tonight on this conversation. Calvin from Baltimore. What's your take? You got the final word on this, brother.
Okay. Greetings, Mr. Muhammad.
Greetings.
I'm a military veteran.
Oh, fantastic.
And I just want to state really briefly that it is an opportunity to get exposure and to get self-development, I'll put it like that. As a result of my service, I have like 15 different technical skills that I can use at any given time. So I have a diverse background that I can, you know, kind of move laterally, vertically, whatever. What I understood from being in the military is that even though it's an opportunity to get, you know, functional skills and to get experience and to travel and experience cultures, the underlying premise is that we are still using our talent, skills, and abilities to further the cause of European domination over the world. I realized that when I was in the military, and I also realize it now. But what I did was I changed my mindset and said, I'm going to take everything I learned in the military, bring that back to my community, and put it under our cultural domain as African people, because we have a distinct military history that nobody can match up to. But everybody learned their military skills from us. But we don't appreciate what we gave to the world. And I wanted to ask you a question right quick, and then I'll end this. I don't know if you remember me, because I haven't seen you in a very long time. As a member of the Nation of Islam, didn't Elijah Muhammad institute a pseudo-military-type training for the young men and the boys and the grown men?
It's called the Fruit of Islam.
Discipline.
Yep, it's called the FOI, the Fruit of Islam. This is the military style training that we not only institute for the men and the boys, but on the
and
women's
the women
side.
As well.
Right. They're called the Muslim girl training class, which allows the MGT, which is a military style training. However, their training is geared toward accentuating some of the values and the skill sets for women, not just in terms of learning how to defend themselves, but also learning how to take care of home. Learning how to do the things that to enhance, to make sure that they keep their femininity intact. It's a whole system, brother. It's a whole system.
Now, I'm agreeing with you on that, but let me ask you this as well.
Yeah.
One of the previous callers, who was a female, said, we keep operating under this premise of deficiency, saying we don't have enough to provide things for the people in our community, such as, you know, financial things, educational things. But I'm saying that is the actual fallacy. We have the resources, but we fail to understand how to collectively bring those resources together to provide the things that people like the military provides, because we aren't following our agenda. We getting the benefit of endorsing basically European domination over the world, and we getting benefits and rewards and, you know, financial compensation, education. But if we just pool our resources and use, say, the Nation of Islam as an example, whether you Muslim or not.
Yeah.
Y'all have a valuable system that was put in place. I don't have to be a Muslim, but by me being a military person, I can appreciate when I see them young brothers doing that drilling ceremony.
Yes, sir.
They would put the average U.S. military to shame.
Wow. And that's coming from a military man.
We got to stop putting our destiny in the hands of, you know, the U.S. military or whatever, because as long as I'm putting my effort into supporting your agenda, you don't mind me participating.
Yeah.
But as soon as I say I'm going to take everything from you I can get, bring it back to my community and build my community so we can defend ourselves against oppression, we can train our young boys, our young girls, build institutions, but we keep operating in this deficiency mentality. We have the money. We have the education. We have the psychologists, psychiatrists, nutritionists. We have the people in place. But we keep focusing on somebody has to provide for me. We got to provide for ourselves.
We are highly capable
of doing it.
Hey,
and I appreciate the time, and I'm going to let you go with that.
Hey, Thanks, brother. You said a mouthful, and I appreciate your insight.
Do.
You know what? I absolutely appreciate it. That's a great way to end tonight's conversation.
Okay.
Thank you, Calvin. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for checking in and sharing your thoughts. But you're right on target, I think, that we can take all that we've gained from all of our experiences and to bring it back at home, put it back into the community. What does that mean? That means that, okay, you can take the good of what's happening, what's being taught in the Air Force, the Navy, the Army, the Marines, and then you bring it back. And you start to create using those fundamental principles, because at the end of the day, those principles that we say being exemplified and worked on in the military, those are actually valuable principles. Honor, respect for authority, service, commitment, seeing yourself as part of seeing yourself as part of a family, as part of a team, not just seeing yourself just for yourself. I mean, these are valuable principles. But if you're talking about young people are ineligible for the military, it speaks volumes about where this country is going. It speaks volumes about where our communities are going. It speaks volumes about this, where this government is going. And at the end of the day, we have to come face to face with that new reality. If you want to get more young people into the military, then be a better country. If you want to get more young people to see the value of service, then be a better country. If you want to get more young people to understand the beauty and the benefit of honor and commitment and to fight for a cause being better than themselves, you've got to become a better country. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. I want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of the conversation, both online and on air. I want to thank my dynamic production team, Ms. Mallory Pinker-Pierre, Alex Blanc, my production assistants, Worldwide Wes and Daryl, the Mad King. And I certainly want to thank my man Dre Day for making me sound so good. Continue the conversation on all of our social media platforms. Hit me up at Faraji Muhammad, F-A-R-A-J-I-I. Also, make sure you check out our website at weaa.org to get all your latest podcasts, not just for the culture, but also with Today with Dr. K and so many of our great shows that we have here. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong, stand for what's right, while being yourself in the process. Up next is In the Groove with LaDon Black. Stay tuned. A whole lot is coming up here on WEAA, here on WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. And remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.